This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Final hour of power coming your way right here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the YIC, Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. When we play audio on this show, we normally like to keep it under a minute and a half. Minute and a half is on the longer side if it's really juicy. But, dog, if y'all was listening to the last segment, Charles Barkley has broke the damn internet. I'm telling you, every show you listen to nationally tomorrow, every TV show you watch, First Take, all that, it's going to be hot. He has just went scorched earth on Inside the NBA on TNT. A little bit of a longer clip, but I want to let you hear from Sir Charles. I tried to describe it myself on the other side or before we took the break, like how hard he was going. But I'm going to let you hear from the horse's mouth. Here is Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA letting it rip.
I saw a fool idiot on TV talking about the Lakers save the NBA.
Save the NBA?
Yeah, yeah. He's an idiot and a fool, but he know who he is. What's his name, Shaq?
Which one are you talking about?
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh.
He said the Lakers, first of all, the Lakers have had a great 2 weeks. He said the Lakers saved the NBA season. That's because them fools on the other network, which we're going to be working for the next year, that's all they talk about. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell me something.
And first of all, I want all the smoke. I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard or anything like that.
I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard.
Right.
I like that.
Hey, man,
I'm stealing that one.
The Lakers are doing great. Got a long way to go. But the reason the season's been going great for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, y'all just want to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers. They're both doing great. Don't get me wrong. If I turn out to be wrong, I got no problem with that. But y'all are idiots because y'all talk about the Lakers and the Warriors all the time. Y'all don't. The Cleveland Cavaliers have won 12 straight games. The Oklahoma City got the MVP and they are on fire. Y'all are talking about who's in second place. That's the reason I get pissed. Hey, the Lakers are doing great. I don't mind being wrong. The Warriors are doing great. But that's because you fools on other networks, which we're going to become fools next year. We'll be working on that network. But Oklahoma City and the Cavs been balling for 6 months. Y'all talking about teams that had two great weeks.
Come on. I get what you're saying. You went at the whole network.
They talk about the same stuff.
The whole industry.
They talk about the same stuff every single day.
I would have to, but you know,
is there some credit to be handed out here?
Yes. But don't say basketball's only watching now. First of all, between that and this lame-ass LeBron-Michael Jordan debate, which is lame. I've said for years, the only people talk about LeBron and Michael is people on television who got no talent to talk about anything else. I've been saying that for years. I ain't hanging on to the 90s. I've always said LeBron's great, Michael's great. But y'all talk about it all the time.
I'm gonna interject here because you all get the point. But damn! When the last time you heard of I can only laugh because you only going to get it from Charles. You know what I want? I almost want to call Danny Rue up and have him re-impersonate Charles Barkley's ass, man. This was good stuff. I love it because I say it all the time when I do this. I'm a man first, and I ain't scared. Charles Barkley, for damn sure, ain't scared. He going to say what people are afraid to say. He's right. He's right. Some of the commentary on ESPN, they do it with the Cowboys, too. They talk about the big brand. I'm like, give a damn about the Cowboys. That's ESPN's problem. They do it all the time. So Charles called him out for it. But he may be wrong on this Lakers thing because they are relevant as hell.
They're playing well.
They're playing well. And it hadn't just been a good two-week stretch, man. They were dealing with an Anthony Davis injury, and they're like the 5 seed in the West. They've been a top 6 seed all damn season for real. So, like, I get where he's coming from, but my bigger point, I get mad about the Cowboys. And I almost want to – I may make it a caller topic tomorrow and for Kevin Sheehan. Like, who gets talked about in sports that shouldn't be that you get mad at? I think it's a great radio topic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because Charles making a point, he's cooking with this. I look at – and Max, I just DM'd you something else from Charles. I think this next comment and clip that we're about to play from Charles Barkley is him I don't know if he really means this, but he had a pretty bold declaration about who would win this year's NBA Finals, or make it, rather, to this year's NBA Finals.
Man, the Cleveland Cavaliers going to the Finals. The Cleveland Cavaliers are going to the Finals. The Celtics, that's going to be a great series if they play the Celtics. But right now, I'm telling y'all, and I told you to book it last week, the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to the NBA Finals.
And let me tell you then.
Let me tell you this.
I did guarantee it. Man.
He's got a point. They look damn good. They did this last year, though, but then they suffered like the injury bug and guys got hurt. Cavs best record in the NBA at 52-10. Best home record in the NBA at 29-4. Winners of 12 in a row. They're the hottest team in the association. Hey, what's my old saying? I like to say the Cavs are talky hot. So, like, Chuck's got something here when he talks about how good the Cavs are. You look at all of the offensive and defensive metrics, they're right towards the top. They're second in field goal percentage, number one in terms of points per game. On the defense, the two in point differential. To be number two in the NBA in point differential really tells you just how well you're playing. They're beating the hell out of teams. And they deserve credit for it, man. In terms of opponent points per game, Cavaliers 11th in the NBA, so they're one of the top defense. Well, they're tied with Brooklyn, which is crazy. Brooklyn is tied? This can't be right. This is via ESPN.com. Brooklyn's tied with the Cavs in terms of points per game allowed. You could have asked me that question 30 times, and there are 30 teams in the NBA, and I wouldn't have said Brooklyn. They would not have been one of my answers.
It's just so hard to believe.
It's so hard to believe. When you think about how poor Brooklyn's been this year, they're bottom feeder, 21-40, 19 wow. games under 500. But they defend, though. Give me a break. Wanted to get into the Crab Five. Talking about Terps basketball here, but I had to let y'all hear from the Chuckster, man, because he is badass. Love me some Charles Barkley. The Crab Five, though, you want to talk about a group that's connecting and hitting on all cylinders at the right time? Look no further than the Maryland Terrapins. Last night, big-time win on the road at Michigan. And wow. So, wow, big-time win yesterday on the road against Michigan. And, man, I look at Michigan State had a golden opportunity tonight, and they're down 10. To Iowa in the second half. I think if Michigan State wins tonight, because of the Michigan loss last night, they would win the Big Ten outright. I may have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure I heard the announcer say that last night on the Big Ten Network. But like, dog, Maryland basketball is playing out of their mind right now. I love everything that we've seen from this group. They're starting five. There's a reason they got a nickname. They called them the Crab Five, making a pun and play on us Marylanders and our addiction to crabs. I am a Marylander that is addicted to crabs, so I'm not talking down at anybody here. But, like, they're starting five. I'd match them up against anybody in the country. they're going to be an extremely tough out in the NCAA tournament because of how well their starting five plays. And last night, the reason they won defense and then Michigan just kept turning the basketball over. Danny Wolf had some ugly turnovers. He had five turnovers. I think it was four in the first half. Like, he struggled. Vlad Golden couldn't get going to the second half. Here and over there, though, Terps ultimately come away with the win. They're starting five, though, man. Rodney Rice, Selton Miguel, Jacoby Gillespie, Derek Queen, Juju Reese. Like, they got a squad, man. And then last night, this is what really is going to get interesting. If they could just get two contributors off the bench, and I got two guys in mind that I'm looking at, one of which went crazy last night from a bench scoring and bench role perspective. Before yesterday, Terps hadn't had a bench point scored since February 20th. Yeah, before last night, Maryland had not had a point off the bench. That's why the five got that nickname, because they're hooping that great. They get no bench production. Jordan Geronimo last night, a senior for the Terps, 16 minutes off the bench. He should have made SC top 10 with the dunk that he had. He posterized somebody last night. 4 points, three rebounds, but you just saw him draw. He only got credited with three rebounds, but there were a couple of offensive possessions where Maryland got the ball back and maintained possession because he was fighting so hard to grab the offensive rebound, and then a foul was called on the opposing team. So it's stuff like that that don't show up in the box score is why you got to watch. But like Jordan Geronimo and then Deshaun Harris-Smith, I also think sophomore local cat, went to PVI. I think he's somebody that maybe gets it going off the bench for the Terps. He's a youngin', but he's a guy that I know can hoop. That's what I really think needs to happen here. Maybe if it's not Deshaun Harris-Smith, then maybe it's Jay Young. But, like, I don't know. To me, with Jay Young, I think he's probably the better shooter between him and Deshaun Harris-Smith. But here nor there, Maryland's starting five, I'm putting up against anybody. And then last night you got production from Jordan Geronimo. He's going to be huge in the tournament. Here's the reason why I don't worry about it so much coming into the NCAA tournament, which starts in 2 weeks, by the way, which is crazy. Maryland more than likely going to be the two seed after their win last night, most likely the two seed in the Big Ten tournament. So they'll get a double bye or something like that. Joe Lunardi right now has got them as a four seed. They would have to, like, blow everybody out in the Big Ten tournament to move up, and I don't think the bracket's going to allow them to get matched up with one of the other top teams. So they're probably going to be a four seed. That starting five, I'm putting up against anybody in the country, like I mentioned. And then the style of basketball that they play, I don't know if it's still true. It was true when I checked last week. KenPom's got them as the only team, one of the only teams in the country, top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency. They're 13th in the NCAA in defensive efficiency. Like, the way that they play, I think, is made for the month of March. They've got the inside-outside scoring because you can throw it down to DQ on the block and let him work out, and he can get his own buckets on the inside. And then what you're getting out of your guards, like, the way that they – I think Kevin Willard deserves credit, too, because and hopefully we see him have success with this down the line. Looking at the way that they use the portal, that's the reason. You look no further than the portal as to why this group is hooping the way that they are. Last year, Selton Miguel was more so in like a six-man role with USF. Now he's the big man on campus in the starting five, knocking down the three-point ball at a 42% clip. Kevin Willard deserves credit for going out and finding the type of guys that they needed in the portal, because their offense at times was buns. It's just straight up was. It was buns at times. Their ability to go in the portal and get Rodney Rice, I think, was huge. Local cat out of Clinton. He's been cooking for this group, shooting 37% from the three-point line. They got the shooters, man. They have the shooting. They got the defense. And that's what I love about the defense. This matchup 2-3 zone that they're playing is going to give teams hell. And credit my guy Denton Day for this. He brought it to my attention. And then I piggybacked on it. They're going to get a break and a rest in the Big Ten tournament. You know what I think they should do during that rest period? We've already seen Kevin Willard deploy some three-quarter court stuff in terms of the full-court pressure looks. You don't think they're on the whiteboard drawing up full-court press looks for the NCAA tournament in those 6 days that they're off? You don't think they're putting in a new press? They got to be. I'm telling you, man, don't be surprised if Maryland makes it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. I think they're going to go on a big-time run. He right now, talking about Joe Lenardi, he's got him in Duke's bracket. So they would have to beat Duke in the Elite Eight, I think, to advance to the Final Four is how it would work. I think that's how it works if I'm doing bracket talk correct here. But, like, dude, that starting five, I'm putting them up against anybody in the country. And the way that they defend, they're going to catch some teams off guard. The one worry that I have is the offense goes cold at times and then the bench production. But here's the thing about the bench production. Unless you get in foul trouble, which is a big possibility because the way the NCAA tournament works, the Big Ten is officiated differently than the SEC, than name your respective basketball, than the ACC. And then in the tournament, it's a mosh-posh of crews. You get dudes mixed up from all other conferences. So it's like you may get a crew that doesn't allow Maryland to be as physical as they are on the defensive end, and then guys get in foul trouble. That's what I think will allow an early exit for the Terps, is their lack of bench depth. Because when you really look at it, like, they don't really have a lot of depth at the big spot. Like, Jordan Geronimo, and I know they got Kapar, like, that's – he don't really play a lot, though. Like, they're in a position right now where they're going to be tough to beat, yes, in the tournament, but there are a couple of things that could really go against them, including the officiating. The other thing that I think may play in their favor is you got these long-ass TV timeouts in the NCAA tournament. So your starting five may be able to play all 40 minutes, like, because they're going to have ample opportunity to rest, man. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this ultimately plays out, man, but I'm loving what I'm seeing from Maryland, and last night was a statement win. I'm ready to see them hopefully go win the Big Ten tournament, man. 1-800-636-1067, the number right here on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. When we come back, we'll go around the National Football League, look at a couple of stories, and then Alex Ovechkin lighting the lamp last night, now just 10 goals shy of breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record, despite the greatness that he's shown throughout his lengthy career, his Hall of Fame career, I might add. There was a certain color analyst last night that we're talking about basketball here, dunked all on Alex Ovechkin. Let's hear from him next. This is The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We're going to get to the Alex Ovechkin stuff from last night. He lit the lamp once more, 10 goals shy of passing Gretzky for the all-time goal-scoring record in the NHL. We'll also take a quick spin around the NFL as there were some key cuts that I want to chime in with you all on. But first, I want to go to my guy Matthew in D.C. wants to chime in. What's going on, man? How you feeling, brother?
Linnell, actually, I'm not good, and here's why. I'm calling because baseball season is about to start. And the only reason I'm saddened by it is that it means there'll be less overtime on 106.7 The Fan with you, the youngest in charge.
Matt, kind words. I'm sad about it, too. My pockets are also a little bit sad about it. But I appreciate you, man. I will say this. They do a great job making sure I am well taken care of between my obligations here on 106.7 The Fan as well as the Team 980. So
that is nice.
And the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah. I have one question for you, and it was the Charles Barkley clip that you played that prompted it. Okay. Obviously, there are broadcasters you admire and you appreciate. Mm-hmm. There are broadcasters whom you want to emulate or be like. Mm-hmm. But who is the broadcaster you think you are most like? Because I heard a bunch of youngest in charge in the round mound of rebound. And I'll take the answer off the air.
I appreciate you as always, Matt. That's interesting. I mean, who do I think I'm most like? Wow. This is going to sound arrogant as hell. I don't know if there's anybody like me. Charles is definitely somebody that, like, keeps it 1,000 all the time. Like, I try to take pride in. Damn, that's an interesting question. There are guys that I emulate and look up to. Y'all know I do play-by-play in my spare time as well. I was the voice of Howard Bison football this year. I'm actually calling a Howard softball game on March the 25th. So that's
my brother's birthday. Yeah, so,
wow, is it?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to your brother. I don't know who I'm most like, I guess. Maybe in the sports radio world, is there a comp? I would say I've got some Mad Dog Russo. I don't know. Man. I'm going to say what most folks are scared to say is what I always pride myself with. And I'm going to be real all the time, whether you all think I'm being facetious or not. I know there's some people that refer to me as a shock jock, and I say and do things for attention. No, everything I say, I 110% mean. I wear it on my, almost swore. Almost said, I wear this bleep on my sleeve. I wear it on my sleeve, man. I tell her how a T.I. is. So, appreciate the compliment, though, Matt. I want to get to this Alex Ovechkin thing before we got it. Max, if you are something.
It's ready.
That's what you were going to tell me. The Alex Ovechkin thing is ready. First, I want to let you all hear the goal that he scored last night. He tied this thing up and allowed the Caps to ultimately go into overtime. It was Tom Wilson who lit the lamp in OT to give the Caps the win. But while we've got it ready for you, goal number 885, Mole Alex Ovechkin.
Second unit here, Mangiapane, McMichael, Frank, Chychrun, Ovechkin, and loose for Mangiapane off the draw. Loose there, and Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin picks it up on the far side of the goal crease. That's goal number 885. 9:32 to go. He is 10 away from passing Gretzky, and the Capitals have tied it here in New York.
That is John Walton on the call. You heard it right here on 106.7 The Fan. He and Ken Sabourin do a great job right here on the Caps Radio Network. But Alex Ovechkin lighting the lamp in meaningful fashion as it tied the game up and allowed old Tom Wilson to finish off the Rangers in overtime. But there were some comments made by the color analyst on the call last night. And let's just say there wasn't a lot of respect, in my opinion at least, for the future Hall of Famer, Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, Darren Pang from played a little bit in the NHL as a goaltender. He's been covering the sport.
Goalie's got something to say.
Right, I'm saying.
Wow.
But he's been covering the NHL for a long time. He does it well, credit to him. But yeah, this was just, we'll let you guys hear it. And it's at the end of the thing.
Well, I give Spencer Carver and his coaching staff an awful lot of credit. We all know that Alex Ovechkin's been a bit of a one-trick pony throughout his NHL career, but that has not been the case. And there's the normal spot. We saw that.
That is Darren Pang sounding very foolish, trying to describe Alex Ovechkin as a one-trick pony. I heard Danny Ruye go scorched earth on this earlier. It made me laugh. Always love hearing him and GP chiming on things. Credit to Darren Pang, though. He joined the Sports Junkies earlier this morning, and credit to Drab T-Shirt, Valdez getting him ready. But he joined the Sports Junkies earlier. Max, if you've got it ready, he joined the Sports Junkies earlier today and tried to defend himself, I guess, is the best way that I would put it. But
yeah, he did.
We got that cut available.
We do. Give me 1 second.
Max was trying to screen a call. You all be easy to the super producer.
It's ready now.
It is ready now. It is Darren Pang joining the Sports Junkies this morning, trying to walk back his stupid comment from last night.
Often in the past, just to clarify,
I never cut off. Just to clarify. Anytime someone's saying just to clarify, they're being a total smartass. Roll the tape.
Talked about OV as just going to the one side, the hash marks, and in his office, and then setting up the one-timer, and often he was referred to. That's a one-trick pony, one guy that he gets the puck there, and he fires it, and he scores goals. Mm-hmm. But what I was alluding to last night was how impressed I was with how flexible he's been, and that he's not scoring from that same area all the time. So, anyway, I'm not sure if that even clarifies.
So, was this kind of taken the wrong way? That's what you're saying.
I believe it absolutely was, 100%.
Yeah. Whatever. You're just a meanie, Mr. Pang.
Like, I get it, but at the same time, you should know better than to say a one-trick pony.
It sounds so derogatory.
There's so many better ways to put it. He scores from that spot a lot, but he has been moving around the ice a lot more in the latter years of his career. That's how you put it.
But dude,
very easy.
I'm kind of stealing Danny Ruye's thunder a little bit because I thought he hit it right on the head. How the hell can you get mad at a guy for being great from a certain spot and calling him a one-trick pony
right.
for it? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora going to join us coming up here on the other side of the break. This is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham riding with you for about another half hour as we take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, though, we go out to the guest hotline where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Yes, so free agency getting ready to start next week. Coming out of the combine, though, Jason, what is the most juicy nugget that you heard?
Probably that just how significantly the 49ers are lowballing Brock Purdy. I mean,
wow.
They like to drive a hard bargain. I understand that. And they've got a way of negotiating and a way of structuring contracts that's worked well for them up until it kind of started tearing their locker room apart the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I thought they'd be hardliners here, but $45
million?
Yeah. Jeez, I mean, like, if you start that low, you know, that's the floor. How much higher is your ceiling? You started 45. That tells me, you know, the Trevor Lawrence is at 55 and Dak at 65 is probably not where you're willing to go. And they probably think he'll cave. And I say cave. I mean, it's a ton of money. But cave to their structure and their way of doing things. So we'll see. I thought that was going to be a tricky negotiation. I personally wouldn't. I would trade him if it was me or this quarterback market. And you know, nobody seems to like anybody. I would go ahead and see what I could get for him. When you've got a Kyle Shanahan who's, you know, thinks he can win with a bunch of different guys, including, you know, Brock Purdy a few years ago when they had already given Garoppolo a crazy contract, and they had traded a million, you know, moved heaven and earth to get the rights to a quarterback who can't play in the league. So, anywho, the quarterback market, and for the first time in a million years, you guys don't have to worry about this yourselves. The quarterback market is kind of upside down right now, and these players don't have what they thought they were going to get, and the teams are taking hardline stances. They're colluding. They're colluding. They love to collude. Ask Lamar Jackson. They're colluding.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, Sam, maybe the Vikings were right after all by not transitioning Sam Darnold, because maybe they get him even under the transition tag and secure his rights for a few years rather than one.
Yeah.
Jason, what went wrong with Debo in San Fran? They move on from him, but they take what seems like a big financial hit to do so, only get a fifth round in return. Is there some underlying friction that maybe we didn't hear about here in Washington?
Well, they're moving the contract. I mean, they're taking that money they would have had to give him, and they're washing their hands of it. I think they'd have done it for less than a five, honestly, and I think they're kind of surprised that they got out from under the whole thing. Again, that locker room started getting funky, the year they made the Super Bowl. And a lot of guys have had to fight to get their money, and the whole Ayuk situation, and was he going to get paid? And, like, you know, remember when Debo did this deal, there was already sort of consternation about how much he wanted to continue to be used as a battering ram, you know, and he didn't want to get sort of chewed up and spit out and have that be the only deal he did with them. Turns out it was anyway, it's a real deal. He was ready to move on. They were ready to move on from him. They spent a ton of money to try to win a Super Bowl. They came up a little short, and now they've got a quarterback situation. So he's not going to be, this time next year, I mean, they're going to do something with Kittle. I'll see if that's a real deal or not, and I just worry about his body going all at once. Mm-hmm. They think Debo, from a performance standpoint and from a durability standpoint, is much older than his age. His football age is much older. And with them maybe being stuck paying Ayuk what they just gave him too, there was no way these two were ever going to be there. Most of the league surprised they were together as long as they were. There's wide receivers everywhere you want to go right now. So the idea that they were going to get even a five, I think, to them privately, they weren't sure if that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because of the glut of guys who are available, and they all kind of have some of the same warts, and this guy's price point is pretty extreme. Now, if you're Washington and you're a new owner and you've got cap space and you've got this quarterback and you don't care about money and he shouldn't care about money, like, I get it. But I would be stunned if he performs to the level of this contract. And I'd be stunned if they think he really can or he still has that in him. I'm hoping they're looking at this as a luxury and cherry on top, even though it comes with that sort of financial commitment, and not like a main thing or the thing to put them over the top, because I don't think that's what you're getting.
It's a very interesting stance to LC on Debo Samuel. To follow up real quick on the Niners, I think that we have seen the best of what it's going to look like in San Francisco. I think they're going nowhere fast after being the bullies of the NFC over the past 4 or 5 years. Philadelphia's, you know, quickly snatched that crown from them. I want to follow up on the wide receiver market. We saw Tutu Atwell just signed for $10 million in L.A. Christian Kirk being under 30 and hitting the market. I think he gets overpaid again. Like, what do you think the numbers are looking like for some of these guys? I know De'Ami Brown is a name here in Washington that folks are interested. Will they be able to keep him, or do they get outpriced?
What's your feel on that? It's kind of interesting to me, because I would have rather kept him than do this Debo thing. You know what I mean? That's just me.
Wow.
And done it at a lot less and giving yourself wiggle room. And that's not a like for like. I'm not saying that. And I'm sure they'll have, you know, a big plan for Debo, and I'm sure there'll be ways they utilize him in the run game. And you start to think about, you know, packages with him on the field and maybe two running backs and Jaden Daniels in a pistol package with this X factor Debo as well, and two backs and the quarterback. Like, I'm sure they've got some interesting plans.
Sure.
But I think De'Ami Brown's going to do pretty well. He's someone who performed really well down the stretch. He's young. There's upside. There's not as much tread on the tires. I mean, they're just everywhere. Like the Cooper Kupp thing, you know, they can't get rid of him. Lockett just got cut.
Yeah.
Other guys are going to get cut. Like, what's a Keenan Allen worth at this stage of his career? Like, I don't know. That's why T. Higgins is so pissed. Because T. Higgins knows that Robert Kraft would have given him $30+ million a year for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now he's looking at 27 for one. And
which is crazy.
If they couldn't do that deal last year, like, and the prices keep soaring, is he going to be willing to do something by July? Or are they even really trying? And in which case, he knows he's being squatted on. So is he going to be ready to go at the start of the season? Is he going to be having to hold in all summer? Like, it seems like they're dead set on history repeating, but, like, that's the guy who would have absolutely crushed it. Will they get overpaid? Yes. Free agency is about players getting overpaid. I just think right now your options are overwhelming, frankly, in terms of guys who've done something in this league.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, first-round picks, you think maybe if they stay healthy, they could be something like the Hollywood Browns of the world, all the way through to the D-Hops, and again, the Keenan, like, they're everywhere. Cooper Kupp, they're everywhere.
Talking with Jason Lock and Forna, Odyssey Insider, host of the Inside in the Huddle podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. What about the market for Joey Bosa? He was cut yesterday. It feels like everyone thinks he's going to go join his brother in San Francisco. Are there other teams that are going to look for his services?
I mean, I'm sure they will.
Can he stay on the field, Jason? Good Lord.
I was about to say, before I even engage with his agents on anything, I want my medical people to scrub this guy from head to toe. Like, I want to do a full, like these kids at the combine, and they send them for MRIs, even though they don't need them, and they, you know, like they give them the whole Inspector Gadget treatment. Like, that's what I would be doing with this cat before I even engage on money. I would have grave reservations about his ability to actually play football for me. Now, pass rush has always had a premium, and he could make the argument he's young-ish. And when he's been right, he's a difference maker. He has been right for quite some time.
And that's the problem.
And that's a team that's probably also going to lose Khalil Mack, and they're real willing to walk away from this guy at that price point. It doesn't mean somebody else won't make him whole. They might. And I'm sure he's looking at what Von Miller got from Buffalo a couple years ago, saying, well, I should be able to beat that. And maybe he will. But man, oh man, I just wonder if his body is really sort of betraying him, and he's kind of telling you who he is and what he is at this stage of his career. I would be really reticent to break the bank for him unless I got unfettered medical access to him, and like my people were like 100% cool with everything.
Well, here's the thing about Bosa and his health. If this is, you know, the last contract he gets, he'll be in the White House sooner rather than later anyway. So it doesn't matter anyway, Jason.
Don't wind me up.
I'm poking a little bit with that. But we'll let you go on this, Jason. The safety market is expected to kind of boom again as well. Javon Holland out of Miami, 25 years of age. I saw Josina Anderson reporting he could get somewhere from $15 to $17 million per. Relative to Jeremy Chinn here in Washington, do you see them getting outpriced for his services?
I mean, look, there'll be a market for him. I was surprised he didn't do better last year because he doesn't have Kyle Hamilton. He's not Kyle Hamilton, but you could convince yourself that he's this joker, hybrid linebacker, hybrid slot corner, you know, hybrid line of scrimmage defender, and with the ability to play deep safety in the mold of a Kyle Hamilton. And if he could stay healthy, you know, you could get bang for your buck. I didn't think you'd be able to get that much bang for your buck because I thought he might have done a little better a year ago. Yeah, I wouldn't want to lose a guy like that.
I agree.
You know, look, Kyle Hamilton's going to get paid. I don't know how quickly he's going to get paid. I don't know if that extension's going to get done, you know, in time to reset, you know, what Winfield got and raise the bar even higher before these guys go full bore into free agency. Because the Ravens tend to, you know, take their time with these things and be pretty judicious. But everybody knows the bar is about to get jumped again about a year after, you know, it got moved significantly for the first time in a long time. So, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they're going to get outbid for too many players that they really think are foundational to their short-term success, right? If a guy's gone, it's because they think they've got, you know, another option, or they just, you know, he wasn't in that that, you know, small circle of sort of must-keeps, must-haves.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, my friend. We appreciate you giving us some time, my man. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Thanks. One of the absolute best joining us, Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, the host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Always love catching up with our guy, Jason Lockenfora. Coming up next to close the show, we'll switch gears a little bit. Talk a little bit of round ball. The CAA tournament gets underway tomorrow at Care First Arena. Joining us on the other side of the break is the commissioner of the CAA, Joey D'Antonio. He'll tell us what to look forward to coming up. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge of O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock right now. We go out to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find our pal Joey D'Antonio, the commissioner of the Coastal Athletic Conference, the CAA. The 2025 Men's and Women's Basketball Championships returns to Care First Arena in Washington, D.C. The men take the court Friday, March the 7th through Tuesday, March the 11th, and the women suit up Wednesday, March the 12th through Sunday, March the 16th. Both winners obviously get an automatic bid to the NCAA championship, and obviously the CAA is something that is near and dear to all of our hearts. Joey, we appreciate you making some time for us, my man.
Anytime. I appreciate you having me on and making time for me. Thank you.
Yeah, big-time tournament coming up this year. I know there's a lot of excitement. I'll ask you some hoop questions here first, and I know maybe it's kind of difficult for you because you are the commissioner of the conference. Is there a team, though, that you've got your eye on that you think could make a potential run in the national tournament?
Well, you know, we've had a very interesting season, to say the least.
Yes.
We had some teams last year that maybe didn't have the type of years they wanted to have that have really bounced back and had some nice years this year. And then we've had, you know, the teams that come into this tournament at the top that are really playing well. I mean, you got to give the Towson Tigers a lot of credit. Our regular season champions, 16-2 in the conference. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Pretty impressive record. UNCW right behind them. College of Charleston, William & Mary. They round out our top four. But, you know, we also have teams below the top four that have beat those teams that are in that top four slot. It's going to be a very, very competitive championship here as we get ready for it.
Yeah, I know the fans are excited for it, as am I. I have a couple folks that have come through the Towson basketball program, so they're a program that's near and dear to my heart as well. Looking big picture at this thing, though, man, obviously March Madness and college basketball, everyone gets excited this time of year. But from your perspective as the commissioner, like, what is beneficial about, you know, bringing a tournament like this that's got juice and buzz, bringing it to our nation's capital? And, like, how does the relationship with Events D.C. benefit the CAA? And why did you guys choose this venue?
Well, there's a lot of factors on that list. And I'll just kind of try to run through a few of them. Number one. We were ecstatic to partner with Events DC right from the beginning. We had this venue on our radar at the conference even before a shovel went in the ground. That's how early we were talking to them. So for us to be, I would call it an inaugural partner with Events DC, that meant an awful lot to us. And it's been a great venue for us. I like to say this. Mm-hmm. It's a basketball-centric venue. As a WNBA venue, obviously very connected with the folks at Monumental and what they do with the Wizards and the Mystics. It means a lot for us to have both that Events DC connection and also the connection with the folks at Monumental. Two great partners. Not directly partner with Monumental, but they're a great partner with us as well as Events DC. Then you add on top of that the fact that we have the ability to present an extraordinary basketball event every time our teams take the court because we're able to utilize all the bells and whistles in the building that are used to produce WNBA G League quality basketball games. That's a big deal to us. Then you layer on top of that the excitement just of being in the nation's capital and everything that goes along with that. I mean, it's the centric part of the United States. There's always a lot of buzz here. And it's a privilege and an honor for our teams to be able to come here and compete in a great basketball tournament in a great venue.
I know the Towson Tigers excited about this being the venue. A little bit of a home court advantage, you would say?
Well, you know, it's a neutral site venue that's centrally located within the conference, and we do have teams run up and down the entire East Coast, but there are some teams that are closer than others. How about that? And and certainly that gives their fans an opportunity to jump from the car and come, but it's not too far for anybody, and it's obviously sure. An easy place to travel into, whether it's by bus, car, plane, or train. You can get to D.C., so it's a good place for our fans to be able to travel into.
Joined right now on the Rude Guest Hotline by Joey D'Antonio, the commissioner of the Coastal Athletic Conference, the CAA Conference Tournament coming to Care First Arena in Washington, D.C. The men's tournament takes place starting tomorrow, March 7th through Tuesday, March the 11th. The women get it tipped off early next week, Wednesday, March the 12th through Sunday, March the 16th. Big picture, looking at it from both the men's side and the women's side, Joey, what exciting moments can you anticipate from these two tournaments?
Well, I think any time, and you kind of hit on this right at the beginning mm-hmm. in the opening, anytime you have an event like this that's going to propel two of your teams into the NCAA tournament, the excitement of a team winning, punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament, I think is what's most compelling. We know we're going to have some fantastic finishes along the way. We know we're probably going to have buzzer beater shots, close games, but when it all culminates and the buzzer goes off and you know that team's going to the NCAA tournament, that's a really big deal for the conference, for the team, for the institution, for their alumni, everyone involved. And doesn't get much more exciting than that. I mean, you can make an argument that the men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments are two of the premier sporting events in our country, maybe the world. And for us to be able to put two teams into those events is really an exciting moment for anybody.
Yes, it is. I can't wait to watch the tournament myself. I know it's going to be good basketball. As a fan and someone that just likes to go to games around the area, especially at the collegiate level, I'm ready to tap in. I can't wait. Do I hope I'm able to get a ticket into the event, my man. Hopefully we can work something out, man. I'm a fan of the CAA as well, brother. So
we can sure help. You have my number. We can help you with that.
For sure. The one other thing that I think is really beneficial for not just the conference, but the area as well, Vince D.C., you guys over with the CAA, you're right in the heart of Ward 8 is where this is taking place in our nation's capital. How can this tournament, as well as Events DC and the CAA, engage Ward 8 in the DC community, you know, looking for, you know, something to uplift them?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I had the opportunity, I think we're going back now 5 or 6 years. I've lost track, and especially with COVID, I think all of us lost track. But yeah. when this building originally opened, and I knew we were going to be a tenant here for our tournament, I had the opportunity literally to be here for the opening ceremonies. And one of the things that was talked about at that time was the opportunity for this building, this venue, and the folks at Events DC to have an incredible impact on not only the economic status of Ward 8 in the community here, but just on the people in the community in general, right? Families, younger men and women, younger children, men and women, and the opportunity for them to be able to come to a venue like this. I know we've partnered with Events DC. They have some free tickets they're going to be giving out to folks in the community to allow families, younger children to be able to come to our games. And that's the type of partnership we want. We want people to be able to enjoy the event. We want the community to enjoy the event. We want the community and the area and the district, Ward 8 and the rest of the district, to benefit from our fans coming into the venue and hopefully have a positive economic impact both on Ward 8 and the district as a whole. So I think that we have a great partnership with the folks at Events DC, Angie Gates, her staff. We've built a really good relationship. It's a really good event and a great venue. And I think it goes hand in hand, working together, to be in the community and make sure the community is enjoying the event here at Care First Arena.
I know the community is excited to host you all. For those folks out there looking to still get tickets for this round's matchup and the event starting tomorrow and then hopefully early next week, how can they do so?
Well, you can go to a couple sites. You can certainly go to the Care First Arena site. You can also go to Ticketmaster.com, and tickets are available on both of those sites.
Joey, we appreciate you making some time for us, my friend. We'll talk to you down the line, brother.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
That is the commissioner of the Coastal Athletic Conference, Joe D'Antonio, getting you warmed up for the CAA basketball tournament. The men's tournament takes place gets underway, excuse me, tomorrow, Friday, March the 7th, and it runs through Tuesday, March the 11th. The women set to tip off early next week, starting Wednesday, March the 12th, and it will run through Sunday, March the 16th. That is going to do it here for this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at @NELL_BTP. I'm rooting for the Towson Tigers in this tournament, ladies and gentlemen. Talk a little Hokies basketball coming up next. Tech Talk Live coming at you on the other side of this break.